television stations that are opening up. And I do believe that to be the way to go. When it comes to competition, the community TV stations are competing with the bigger broadcasters in terms of advertising revenue. So again, when you ask about competition, there are a lot of broadcasters, radio and television. I just believe that they need to be more supported, especially the community television. When it comes to the postal service, I do believe that we need to consider having other options. I'm aware of private courier services, but I think either we beef up the South African Postal Service or we need an alternative to the PostNet.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Dose.
Thanks. I'm going to be asking a lot of quick questions, so don't think I'm impatient. All right. So what is your view on the concept of white monopoly capital, and do you think it's applicable in the pay television space?
Thank you, sir. I have learned from the media that it's a concept that was born out of the UK. But with regards to that, in the broadcast space, I can't say that I see that is the situation. I do believe that we do, again, going back to my previous comment, need to support more community TV. And I think it needs to
pay in the pay television space.
Apologies. In the pay TV, yes. I think there is monopoly, and I think that something can be done about that.
Yeah, so what would you do? Now you are in the leadership of CASA. What are the immediate things that can be done to transform the pay television space?
Thank you. To be more inclusive, I think what we could consider as the CASA is to actually go into the communities and start looking at community pay TV, where the community runs, owns, manages the channel, and then brings the marketing and the revenue from their communities for that platform.
No, but from a regulatory point of view, what can ICASA do to break the back of white monopoly capital in the pay television space? All right. Do you know Kurt Becker?
Yes.
You have a relationship with him?
Not at all. I don't even know what he looks like.
Okay, good. So what do you think about his standing in the pay television space and the impact that he has had?
Thank you for that. I am split in terms of my views of that. In the one way, brilliant business concept. In another way, quite a monopoly. So I think more could be done to share the benefits that the pay TV has.
What can be done? So Kurt Becker now is in front of you. You are leadership. What are you going to say? How do we transform, maybe beginning with his companies?
I'd be saying, Chris, I think you need to make the DSTV become more accessible and affordable.
Okay, so the last question is, what are the best spectrum allocation processes in South Africa? What do you think should be the processes for spectrum allocation in our country? I think it's one of the big issues.
Thank you. I think when awarding licenses, tighter sort of considerations need to be given with regards to who the licenses are given to. As far as I'm aware, it's Centec that manages that process. There's so many companies that I'm aware of that I read about that are applying for licensing. I just think that there should be higher levels or standards that need to be reached in order for them to receive a license.
Like what? This body is a very technical body. So part of what you have to do for us is demonstrate with examples, with detail, so we can have a sense of, like, that you are not hoping again. You're not like just maybe filling up your CV. Technical knowledge of the space is important. So what are these things that ought to be done? What are your ideas specifically, I mean, that in relation to spectrum allocation processes?
Thank you. I'd start by, if a potential licensee would apply for space, I would ask what they're going to do with regards to unemployment. So is the purpose of your license going to be to address the employment issues or address unemployment by employing people? What is it going to do for community development? What is the purpose? Is somebody already doing something very similar? And also, what is the sustainability factor? Because it doesn't help opening up or asking for license and then ending up only surviving a year or two because you don't have support. So I'm speaking on a higher level, I realize you want more specific details, but I think each request would be based on merit. So I would be looking at it saying, well, how far can we spread? We've got 9 presidential nodes. How widely are we covered? Where do we really need to go in? Can we start with the rural areas? You know, what is the capability in the rural areas? Do we need to put more technical capacity?
Okay, last question. I know I said the last. This one is political. So part of what ICASA does is allocate time slots during elections. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
So a lot of people have made an argument that that needs to be transformed because it perpetuates the power of the existing big parties. In terms of the allocation of time slots on both SABC TV and SABC Radio. What is your take on that?
Thank you. I believe that there should be fairness through everything, so I think everybody should be awarded equal opportunity to have their voice heard.
What's happening now, and how would you make equal opportunity? Or do you think it's fine what's happening now, or would you make it more equal? If you would make it equal, can you be more specific? What would you do? How would you change it?
I would look at all the parties involved and give everybody equal time opportunity, irrespective of how small or how small represented they are on the channels.
You mean, what by equal, what do you mean? Because they say they are equal at the moment.
From my viewing, I see more of one than the other, so I can't say. I'd have to look at the facts. But I would look at the facts based on numbers. The numbers don't lie.
So you don't know the facts. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. So numbers don't lie. Okay. Honorable Sadi?
Miss Delport, I'm sure you are aware that unlike board members of other entities, councillors of ICASA are full-time. Surely there will be instances where employees will even refer some of the issues to councillors, even those that are supposed to go to the executives. How do you find yourself dealing with that particular challenge if appointed a councillor?
Thank you, sir. I am aware it's a full-time position, yes. If I may make a reference based on the previous speaker, he's given me some guidance, so I'm going to give you examples. You know, serving on the board with the MRCT CETA, we get that. I have personally got that. And, you know, you serve as a counselor, but your position is not to engage directly with the employees. I would absolutely refer the matter to the chair, and I would ask for guidance, or I would ask that the employee follow their protocols, their internal protocols. It's going to happen. People do that.
Are councillors answerable to the Minister of Communications or to Parliament?
Thank you. So the council falls under the Minister of Communication. I understand this is a position appointed by the President. So I'm going to say this carefully when I say I think it's a bit of both, but the appointment will be through the presidency.
Parliament does not have any role in terms of the work that they're doing.
Well, I'm being interviewed at Parliament, so I would say they would certainly have a role in the work that they're doing.
The digital migration analog to digital, what do you understand to be the role of ICASA in that space?
Thank you. I have been following DTT for a couple of years now since the announcement from the EBU. And I can tell you that ICASA's role in terms of ensuring that DTT is rolled out is instrumental. I know we haven't effectively done that, and I think we're one of the slower countries, if I can say, in the world that are actually rolling out DTT. I think that with regards to ICASA's role, they need to ensure that it is rolled out, but there are certain technical things that need to happen before we can.
Any gap that you might have detected from the ICASA Act that might need to be looked at very carefully just to try and ensure that ICASA does perform the way it's supposed to be doing?
Thanks, sir. Look, I've gone through the ICASA Act and the Electronic Communications Act, and I can't cite it to you, but I can say that with regards to ICASA and with regards to the challenges, I know that a big deal with regards to the challenges was just the management of the set-top boxes. And I think that if a decision could be made and ICASA would be able to take that decision without any interference, then I think we could actually move forward on the DTT.
Last one. From compliance point of view, do you think ICASA has got enough teeth to bite from the compliance point of view?
Thank you. I believe ICASA has the mandate and certainly the constitution behind it. I think on paper, absolutely, ICASA has the teeth. I just think that it's a matter of taking charge and making things happen. I was trying to be political.
Okay, Honorable Kalago.
Just few questions from me, Chair. I want to follow up on, because I didn't get correctly your answer to what Honorable Rose was asking, around spectrum. Are you aware of any controversy around spectrum now?
Thank you, sir. Just to clarify, in terms of the issuing of license on the spectrum, that's what you're asking me.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there's no capacity, that I have, and my opinion is that we're running
full into... No. In terms of, you know, the ICASA Council have issued an invitation to apply ITA, and there's a conflict between them with the Minister of Telecommunication and Postal Services. That's the controversy I'm talking about. What is your opinion on that? In fact, it actually follows on what Honorable Joseph, because Honorable Joseph was asking you which is the better way and the most efficient and fair way of issuing the spectrum. What's your opinion? I'm just asking your opinion.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to start with what I commented earlier, and I would look at the applicants based on merits. I did read in some of the information that there could be a consideration for issuing licensing with regards to the term was used, a beauty pageant or an auction kind of style, which I really would have loved to get a bit of clarity on. It shouldn't be a first-come, first-serve, I don't believe. It should be, what is this going to do for the country? And sound like a true politician when I say that. But you have to look at it and say, if you're just going to give a license, what are you actually going to do with it? So if we have the capacity, let's make it work for good.
Okay. Should it be based on, just to be direct, should it be based on who pays much?
I don't believe so, no.
Then there's these terms of maybe you will just which are related to how ICASA work on when it deals with its work around regulations, ex ante regulation and ex post regulation. Can you what is your understanding of those processes, both of them? What is the difference?
Sorry, so say that again. Ex?
Ex ante. And ex post.
I wouldn't be able to answer you. I'm sorry.
Okay. And on the, are you aware of any policy developments now around, especially rolling out the broadband and actually trying to effect convergence and taking into consideration the developments now? Are you aware of any policy around that?
Thank you so much. I am aware of the amendment to the Electronic Communications Act, and with regards to the conversions, I have been reading with regards to the migration from information technology and broadcast is so close that it is converging, and whereas in the past one would look at it in isolation, IT versus broadcast, you actually have to be inclusive now. It has to be seen as one. So I couldn't quote a policy name or a policy number, but I am aware of that.
Which department do you think ICASA must fall between the postal and telecommunications and
I believe the Department of Communication is the most inclusive. It can't just be telecommunication, and it's not a decision I make, but the way I understand it and from what I read from the mandate of the Department of Communication, that is the most inclusive for broadcast postal services.
Then, Honorable Shin, you are in trouble from telecoms.
Quick follow-up,
I'll give you. In our tradition, when there is a Makoti in the house, she makes tea and coffee for everybody.
That's sexist.
But on a lighter note, I just want to congratulate because they got married 2 weeks ago. The Makoti there and Mr. Ndenze there. If they can stand up, it's not a wedding, but just to congratulate you. Both of you, congratulations. Yeah. I really wanted to congratulate the two more than anything else. Congratulations, guys. Welcome to the family. Honorable Ndoze?
I'm very impressed with the Chairperson's comments. Now, I don't think you've been very forthright. Doesn't Sibido Investments own ETV?
Yes, but I left them a year ago.
But you work for the Sibido Academy?
Not anymore. No, 1 year ago I left. I was saying, I think with the nomination process, the previous CV got to you before it was updated.
Oh.
I don't work for the E-Group. No, I'm an independent.
Okay. Right. Okay, just make a sweep. Well, someone might say you're going to represent ETV interests in ICASA, and that's precisely why you left them a year ago. I think we've been actually in this thing for about a year of trying to get people and fill up the ICASA council board. So what's your take on that? Just come out clearly. I'm giving you an opportunity to redeem yourself.
Thank you very much for that. The industry will tell you I left because of difference of opinion. I was only nominated to the CASA board through SACIA after I left E. I didn't even know about it. I wasn't even asked until this year, actually, and I left last year.
But you agree there's a conflict of interest if that were to be the case?
Thank you. The only conflict I could potentially see, Chair, sorry, and now that it's been raised, is that my son is a graphic designer and works for E. And I will tell you today that he would resign tomorrow if given the opportunity. He's a junior employee and he's been there for almost 10 years. So I have absolutely no conflict. I deal with all the broadcasters and I have for many years.
So if you're appointed, you will resign tomorrow?
Chair, I can tell you he would.
Do you decide for him?
No, he told me that this morning.
Honorable Chair?
Thank you. The answers that have just been given then bear on the very first question I asked. which was that you are currently listed in the CV as being employed on two places. You said only that you had resigned from ETV. You didn't say you had resigned from the other one. Also, this raises huge concern because you were invited to submit, you and anybody else, submit nominations in June this year. Okay. So you resigned from both of these companies last year, and you submitted an updated CV to become a counselor at a salary of over $1 million a year. Surely that is sloppy.
Ma'am, you're correct. I did resign last year, and I didn't submit my information was submitted on behalf of me through SACIA, the communications industry, and they used the CV that they had. So I do extend my apologies, Chair and honorable members, that the recent CV was not submitted.
So you're currently unemployed?
Well, not unemployed, ma'am. I run a training, well, I'm an independent consultant and I train.
Okay, let's step off now. I mean,
One last one, Chair. What's the name of your consultant's company?
The company is registered under the PTY number through...
What's its name?
It's the PTY number, Chair. I can make that available. And it's a recent company. Prior to that, I am a director of Neuro Business Institute.
No, we're interested in what you're doing now. Because we're trying to trace conflict of interest. Sure, I mean, surely you see we are dealing with a rather sloppy, hopping kind of process here. So we are left to do the job on our own. So it's a what consultancy?
So I'm currently a director of the Neuro Business Institute.
Neuro Business
Institute. That's correct.
Okay.
And there's no conflict of interest. It works with neuroscience.
Okay. Which seat are you a board member of?
The MICT Chair, Media Information Communication Technologies. My term ends 31 March 2018, in a couple of months' time.
Is it not the seat where the CEO was involved or alleged to be involved in corruption and all of that?
There was a media release, and it is alleged, Chair.
It is alleged. Do you know of any corruption there as a board member?
Chair, all I can say is that the board is investigating with the support of the Auditor General.
So as a member of the board and board members, you didn't know anything until media blowed it up?
Thank you, Chair. The MICTC has had a clean audit from the Auditor General for 7 years in a row, Chair. If something has not brought your attention, you wouldn't know.
What's the in that sector?
Chair, I can only tell you it's in the media.
Media did pick it up. Was there any whistleblower in your understanding?
Nothing has been confirmed.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the responses. You are now released.